Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Tonight I want to show you something. I actually wanted to minister this word last week, but then the Lord took me in a different direction just before the service. I feel like this is the week I need to minister this word to you. So we're going to go to Proverbs 26 and we'll start in verse number 2. Proverbs 26, verse number 2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. This evening I want to share with you out of the Word of God a story that's very powerful to prove something to you that I want you to never forget. I remember when we got here to Florida, to Vero Beach, in the beginning we would do a lot of warfare as a church, and you know, we'll be doing more of that in the future, without a doubt. And I remember after the service being challenged about how I can get people to do that, how I can get people to say, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and am I not afraid of that the devil's going to attack the people? No. I'm not afraid. And if you're a child of God, and you are serving God and walking with God, you shouldn't be afraid of the devil either. I remember thinking, this is the strangest thing. You know, my Bible says that we are children of God. My Bible says we have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. My Bible says whatever things you bind on earth will be bound in heavens, in the heavens. That my Bible says the enemy is already a defeated foe. So what's the problem? What are we worried about? Why are we so afraid of the enemy? Or we get these situations where, you know, somebody's cursing us, or somebody's sending a curse out against us, or do you know that the witches in town are praying against you? And we're so afraid of the dark side. Well, we're on the right side. We're on the light side. Amen. That scripture is such a powerful scripture. Since I was a young Christian, I remember that scripture being taught to me and the effect that it had on my life, because it says that a curse that is sent out against you, it cannot alight. It cannot have anything in your life unless it has a cause. The only one that can give authority to a curse to work in your life is you. But if you're not allowing the curse to work in your life, then you have nothing to worry about. If you're a child of God, if you're a covenant child of God, you are not under the curse, you are under the blessing. So God is either for you or against you. I don't know about you, but I would really prefer for, you know, God to be for me. Amen. But there is no in between. And I want to show you this evening what happened to someone when they tried to curse the children of Israel. And it's a story that we can learn so much from. Because I'm going to give you two lessons this evening out of this story. There's actually so much more that we can learn from this. And there's such a lot of scripture that it's been very difficult. I think that's kind of why it took me 2 weeks. Because to try and figure out what to leave out and what to include was kind of difficult. But I'll do my best to make it clear so that you can really grasp what I believe God is wanting to say to us. So let's go to Numbers chapter number 22. Numbers chapter number 22. This is a very powerful story, powerful lesson. And let this be a warning to anyone who tries to curse a child of God. Numbers 22. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. I just want to warn you, I'm going to be reading a lot. So try and follow with me. If you don't have your Bible, follow on the screen. And if you do have your Bible, follow in your Bible. But we're going to be covering a lot of the word in order for us to grasp what the story is all about. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So the Moabites were afraid of the children of Israel because they had heard what the Israelites had done to their neighbors. As the Lord was giving them more and more territory as they were moving, they were afraid of what these children of Israel were going to do to them. And so we see here that it says that they were afraid of them because they were many, but also because of, as I say, what they were actually doing to the neighboring cities. So have a look at what happens. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, who was king of the Moabites at the time, then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." Let's stop right there. First of all, I want you to see something. You cannot curse a people that are blessed. Whom God has blessed, let no man curse. No curse can work against the people of God. If you are a child of God, if you are a covenant child of God, they can stand there with their rituals and their incantations and go to town. It will have zero effect on you. It can have zero effect on you. It has no power on you. Because you are a covenant child of God. If you look here, you can see that Balak, the king of the Moabites, was aware of Balaam and recognized that this man had divine supernatural power. That whenever he would curse, if he would curse, that curse would work. That curse would be able to do something. If he would bless, that it would bless. So he sent his little cronies to go to Balaam to give him a fee to try and persuade him to curse the children of Israel. One thing I have to say that I'll give Balak a little bit of credit for is that he already realized that in battle he wouldn't be able to win. So he realized that to defeat the children of Israel, it would have to be a spiritual battle. So the battle is not in the natural. The battle is in the spirit. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. That's who the battle is against. But what you do need to understand is that you are blessed, and whom God has blessed, no one can curse. You are protected. You are covered. What you now fight for is for territory, to bring the kingdom. And so we take on these forces because God says that we should. God says that we should pray and we should fight for the city, for the people, for our families. We should come against the enemy. When the enemy has done something, even with my own daughter, there was a situation a few years back, she won't even remember this, where there was a situation in her classroom with a person that was causing trouble, and I was warned by the Lord about it. So every morning I would not attack the child that was going to my daughter. That would be foolish. I was going after the spirit that was going after my child because I recognized what it was. So I would every morning pray and I would take on that spirit that was in that child. Never ever coming against the child. As I said, that doesn't make any sense. The battle's not against the child. The battle's against the spirits, the powers and principalities, the spirits of wickedness. So I'm going after that thing and asking God every morning, Lord, let that thing, that power of that spirit that's coming against my daughter to try and lure her away, break. I break the power. It didn't take long and he stopped. Just like that. Boom. So that's how we battle. We battle in the spirit. We pray, we fight by intercession. That's how we do battle. Amen. But what you must not do is be afraid of the fact that God is going to allow just the enemy to work in your life just because, or be afraid of something that the enemy can do to you. I remember when I was younger, if I would get some kind of a letter or something where the enemy was coming against me, I'd be a little bit scared. I remember when I stayed in Pastor Mark's house, when he was an evangelist, I stayed in his house, I was terribly afraid of what the witches would do. They can do nothing. They are not allowed. They are not permitted. The demons in them. Yes, the demons in them. They already know that they can't do anything. They already know. If you know, if they know that you know who you are, they will not challenge you. Okay, now let's take a look, because this story gets really powerful. Verse number 13. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly and will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come and curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. At least he recognizes this, right? Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. Pay attention to what God is saying here. If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do. Now take a look. The morning comes and have a look at what Balaam does. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now why would God be mad? Because God told him that he can go with him. Well, have a look at what happens here. God said to Balaam in verse 20 at night and said to him, if the men come and call you. Have a look at verse 21. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkeys, and went with the princes. There was no call. So there was something going on in Balaam's heart. Balaam wanted the money. So he thought now he's been given permission by God to go. He didn't even wait and listen clearly to what God said, because God said to him, you do exactly as I tell you. When they come and call you, that's when you go. In the morning, he saddles his donkey. He doesn't wait for anybody, and he gets on the road. And immediately in that moment, God gets mad, because God knows everything. And he knows what's about to take place. God wants to protect his people. He even wants to protect Balaam from what's about to happen. But on the journey, something powerful happens. Let's take a look. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw an angel of the Lord standing in his way with his drawn sword in his hands, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the road. Now so now you see that immediately the Lord comes and he's angry with Balaam. And the donkey actually, if you study the story, you'll see that the donkey actually eventually speaks to him, because he begins to strike the donkey, but the donkey's actually trying to get out of the way to protect him. He gets all angry at the donkey. Meanwhile, the donkey's actually trying to save his life. He gets all angry with the donkey, strikes the donkey. Eventually, he repents to God, and he goes to Balak. This is not the moral of the story, so I don't want to spend too much time in this. But immediately you can see the disobedience, and immediately from disobedience becomes anger, because he's trying to get to his goal, which is to be financially remunerated. And God's going to speak to him. So when he finally gets to King Balak, let's take a look at what happens. Don't worry, I'm getting somewhere. Let's go to verse 36. Now when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border at the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" Then Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now, have I any power at all to say anything? The word of God put in my mouth that I must speak." So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath Huzoth. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the people, to the high places of Baal, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. Let's go to 23, verse number 1. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here, and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams." And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to a desolate height, and God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I have prepared the 7 altars, and I have prepared on each altar a bull and a ram." Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." So he returned to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel." Now watch. "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" You cannot curse who God has not cursed. You cannot curse who God has blessed. Now watch. "From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There are people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number 1/4 of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let me end like this." Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully." So he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?" And that was the first time that Balak tried to get him to do this. What's interesting about the story, if you study it, it's just too much to read. You will see that Balak gets Balaam to go a second time. And when he goes a second time, again, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet and he begins to speak. And he again speaks another blessing over Israel. It happens a third time that he tries to get him to do sacrifices and tries to persuade God or tries to do a curse against the children of Israel. But again, God comes and says, you cannot do this. Then it happens a fourth time. And after the fourth time, the same thing happens. And I believe firmly that both men, at the end of the fourth time, had finally realized that whoever God chooses to bless cannot be cursed. And in Numbers 24, verse 25, this is what it says. So Balaam rose and returned to his place. Balak also went his way. Not very happy, both of them. Not very happy, both of them. Now, do you see the power of covenant? Do you see the power of your relationship with God? Let me ask you a question. Are you a child of God or are you not? Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God? Do you follow Him with your heart? Do you love Him? Do you serve Him? If this is so, then if God is for you, who can be against you? Don't think that every time you make a little mistake, because the children of Israel made lots of little mistakes. It's only the big ones that cost them, which we'll get to in just a moment. But when you follow God, nothing that comes against you can have any effect or any power in your life. I want you to understand this. I want you to not be in fear of the enemy. If a demon walks into your house, just tell him to get out. He doesn't belong here. If an enemy comes against you, tell it to get lost. It doesn't belong here. Whom God has blessed, no one can curse. A curse without a cause cannot alight. Now, in this story, it's very interesting because it goes on. It goes further. It goes a lot deeper. Because something does take place where the children of Israel do come under a curse. Watch this. But it has nothing to do with the curse that Balaam sent out. Are you guys okay? Now, let's go to Numbers 25, verse number 1. I know it's a lot of information, but if I don't read it to you, you won't understand the story. Amen? Numbers 25, verse number 1. Now, Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the woman of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. You see, all of a sudden, the strategy of the enemy had changed. Instead of cursing the children of Israel, they began to lure them. They began to lure them with sexual immorality, and they began to lure them with false worship, worship of foreign gods. If you mess around with witchcraft of any form, I can assure you it is going to bring you into trouble. As soon as you open that door, then yes, something can work against you. But you must understand, it was not the enemy that came directly and God just said, okay, go ahead, you can have your way. It was an open door and it was a major one. God is a God who does not lie. God is a God who honors His promises and His covenants like you have no idea. And we have a better covenant. So there's much more grace than what there was in those days. But what I still want you to see is that when you turn against God, when you rebel against God, when you begin to worship other idols, when you begin to do and go completely against His word, only then can a door begin to open where a curse can begin to work in your life. I need to tell you this because I need to show you. But it is not God that did it. It is not God that said, oh yes, go ahead and curse the children of Israel. Oh no. It was the children of Israel that decided to do what they were not supposed to do. They were mixing. worshiping idols and worshiping God and doing what was an abomination in God's eyes. He did not allow it, and they completely went against him, and immediately the curse was able to work. Not the curse that Balaam had sent out, but the one that they opened the door to on their own. Now, I want to show you what happens, and I want to show you how to deal with it when it does happen. And I'm hoping this will set some people free this evening. Verse number 3. So Israel was joined to Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against him. Then the Lord said to Moses, now watch, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders. All right then. Let's read it again. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, and that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. God was mad. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal-peor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midian woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the men of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through. The men of Israel and the woman threw her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague because of this thing that the children of Israel did were 24,000. But in an instant, they killed it. This is very powerful. When you open a door, when a curse begins to work, or if there's a curse, even in your bloodline, that needs to be dealt with, there's only one way to kill it. You have to go after the root. You have to go after the entry point. So God said, the ones who committed this thing, the ones who opened the door, the ones who allowed it, bring them out and kill them. And the priest's son saw who it was and wanted to end this thing, and he went straight after the enemy, and there was no mercy on the enemy. Now, we're not putting this in human terms. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's in the spirit. But you must understand, the only way that a curse can work is if you are giving it legal ground. So if there's something that needs to be broken, if there's something that needs to be canceled, if there's something that needs to be cut off, you need to do it. And you have to do it at the root. That's why Jesus said that you must first bind the strong man. You must first break the power of where the entry point is. There's a scripture that says, confess your trespasses one to another. Those trespasses, the word trespasses actually speaks of offenses, so that you can be healed. Pray for one another so that you can be healed. We think God is mean. Oh no, God's trying to kill this thing as quick as possible so everyone doesn't die. Because a curse will go down to the third and the fourth generation. I have worked with people 3-4 generations down, something that has not yet been dealt with and needs to be dealt with, working in somebody's life. And God wants to go after where it started, to deal with it so that it can be broken, so that it can have no authority and no power in your life. You better say amen, or you'll have to say, oh my. Amen. Now watch. Verse number 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. I have seen so many believers not have peace because of something that hasn't yet been dealt with, because of something that must be broken, because of some right, because of something that's been hidden, because of something that you've just kept that door closed. You don't want it exposed. I've seen them suffer. But let me tell you, when you expose the enemy and you allow God to destroy it, what will come is peace. Peace will be your reward. True peace will come. Can you say amen? But I'm going to show you how awesome God is. Because you must remember that a lot of times, things that have even worked in your life have nothing to do with you. Yes, because of it, there's things that may happen in your life that you've allowed. But it's not necessarily you that opened that door. We need to close that door. And I'm going to teach you more about this in the future, but I want to show you how God deals with this. Because not only does God bring you peace when you close the door and go after the root, but what God always does is he makes the enemy pay. Come on, I get a better amen than that. He will make the enemy pay. Numbers 31, verse number 1. Watch now. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel. Afterwards, you shall be gathered to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm some of yourselves for war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe, of all the tribes of Israel, you shall send to the war. So they were recruited from the divisions of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hands. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. Evi, Rechem, Zer, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Now watch. And Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. Balaam, the one who tried to curse Israel, was also killed. Why was he also killed? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this evening. If you go to Numbers 31, verse 16, it speaks of an incident that must have taken place either while he was with Balak or afterwards, when this incident took place, when the woman started to interbreed with the Israelites. Numbers 31, 16, look, this is what it says. Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident at Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the land. So in other words, Balaam, because he realized that he could not curse the children of Israel, decided to give some advice to the Midianites and say to them, why don't you, instead of cursing them, why don't you go and tempt them? So God destroyed the tempter as well. And the one who planted the seed to do the tempting. God will utterly destroy everything that comes against you. God will utterly destroy, in the spirit now, he will utterly destroy every spirit, every force, every darkness that has come against you. He will utterly destroy it. Even because of the temptation, he will utterly destroy that thing. I don't know about you, but to me, this is extremely powerful. This is extremely powerful. But I also want to show you, before we pray or do anything, If you look in the New Testament, there are several scriptures that warn us against Balaam and about basically using what God has given you, your gifts, your abilities, for financial gain, because the end for you will be one of absolute disaster. If God anoints you, let me read you one or two of these scriptures real quick. I know this is kind of off topic, but it's important. 2 Peter 2, verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam could not use his supernatural power because he realized that what God has blessed, no one can curse. So instead, he used his abilities and his smooth tongue to convince them to tempt the children of Israel, and it worked. And the curse, the very curse that he was trying to use, ended up destroying him. Don't ever use what God gives you. Don't ever use it for financial gain. Amen. 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 Two things this evening that I want to share with you in closing, and we'll pray. Number one, don't ever forget that if God is for you, no one can be against you. I remember I said to my pastor once, you know, these people are coming against me and they're cursing me and all this stuff. And he said to me, what are you worried about? And I was like, what do you mean? And then he gave me the story. And he said to me, come on, Alex. And I was like, duh. I know this. But it is so powerful that one that they would say that if he would curse, it would be cursed. If he would bless, it would be blessed. Someone that obviously had serious power. Even he recognized that if God says you cannot curse, you cannot curse. If God is for you, no one can be against you. You need to remember that. Now, if the door somehow has gone open in your life, whether it be from generations past or perhaps now, going to fortune tellers, Ouija boards, stuff like that, that opens a door. If you're a Christian and you do something like that, you must know that you've opened a door. You have offended God. And that needs to be broken. That needs to be addressed. But understand one thing, that if you're a believer and something like this happens, first of all, there's no condemnation if you repent. Just repent. What you also need to know is that God will not only redeem you, because you already have been redeemed, but he will also make the enemy pay for whatever he's tried to bring against you. Can you say amen? All right, let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, this story is such a full story with so much more than what I've even shared this evening. I've really just given the tip of the iceberg. But I believe in my heart, Lord, that your message is clear. That you want your children to know that the enemy will not be able to attack them or bring fear into their lives. That he cannot curse them. That a curse without a cause cannot alight. I also pray this evening, Father, that this will be something that will strengthen us and give us boldness and courage. I pray that tonight, Lord, in this place, that any curse that has been sent out or had any right, even from the second and third generation of past, that tonight it would be broken. That no curse that has been sent out against any person now would have any authority or power because of the blood of Jesus. We are free and free indeed. And Father, if there's anybody tonight here that needs to be set free from this, that you would do it for your glory, that you would free them. Because there's a promise, Father, even with the children of Israel, even when they messed up, as soon as the enemy was dealt with, peace was the covenant that you promised. And so I pray tonight, Father, that you would bring peace to people in this place that need your peace. peace to those, Father, who have been bound by the enemy with all kinds of fear and turmoil. Whatever it is the enemy has desired to do, Father, just bring peace tonight, I ask, into their lives. And so I break every curse off you now in Jesus' name. Any right that the enemy has had in any way, I break it, I cancel it now in Jesus' name. Even now, as the enemy begins to whisper in your ear, I cancel, I silence him now in the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.